Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. This is the teacher and analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia scholars, jurists, and philosophers all across the world of Islam. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Sheikh Mahtavi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum to you both.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding scholars and ulama of the 13th century Hijra, originally from India. He is Sayyid Mahdi Abu Zafar, but mainly known as Mir Hamed Hussein Hindi, the author of the magnum opus Abaghatul Anwar. We try to first take a look at his early life and then at his most outstanding book, that is Abaghatul Anwar. Sheikh Ziyaniya, let's start with you. Give us some information about the early life of Mir Hamed Hussein Hindi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Allama Sayyid Mahdi Abu Zafar, or Mir Hamed Hussein Hindi, was born in 1246 according to lunar calendar in a village close to the Delhi, capital city of India. And as his name is showing, he was from Sadat. He was from the offspring of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is named as his grandfather Hamed Hussein. And when we want to trace back his lineage, he goes back to the children of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam, mm-hmm. the seventh Imam of Shia, with 27 generations.
Generations, okay.
Mir Hamed Hussein Hindi started his Islamic teachings and Islamic studies when he was 6 years old. And he studied with different teachers, but mainly at the beginning of his studying, his father was the teacher that brought him up according to Islamic school of thought. And when he was 14, he came to study theology and some way finishing fiqh. He studied Islamic jurisprudence with the Sultan al-Ulama, Sayyid Muhammad bin Dildar Ali, mm-hmm. and also with the brother of his teacher, Sayyid al-Ulama, Sayyid Hussein bin Dildar Ali. Both of them were the scholars in India. Right. And you know, some of maybe these scholars are not well known to mm-hmm. the rest of Islamic world,
yes.
but they were well known at that time in India.
That's right.
And also he wrote a book, we should say a commentary, and the book of Manahij al-Tadqiq that was written by his teacher,
right.
Sayyidul Ulama. Okay. And also he corrected and also tried to publish some of the works of his father,
right.
like Futuhat Haydariyya, Risale Taqiyya, Tashid al-Mata'in. And when he moved to Hajj, mm-hmm. he traveled to perform the pilgrimage of Hajj, and also went to Atawat Aliyat, to Karbala, Najaf, and Samarra, and Kadhimain.
Yes.
And then he came back to India, and from that moment on, yes. his life is, you know, more brilliant for
yes,
us, of
right.
course.
Okay.
And we have more information regarding this period of his life.
When we studied the life account of Mir Hamed Hussein Hindi and compare it with the other scholars of the Shia studies, we find him from India, something which is very much rare, because most of the scholars were either from Iran, Persia, or Iraq, Lebanon, you know. This man is from India. My point is this. He writes a book which becomes one of the most outstanding, you know, books in defense of the Shiism and the Shia beliefs, that is Abaghatul Anwar. First of all, let's talk about the main intention of Mir Hamed Hussein Hindi to compile such a book. What was the main goal, Sheikh Mahtavi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is a good point. I may respond this way, that his main intention is loyalty to the actually school of thought of Ahlul Bayt and to defend from the truth. Because in his area, I mean, since he's originally from India, mm-hmm. we know that the actually population of Muslim there, I mean, Sunni brothers outnumbered Shia over yes. there. So definitely they are going to have more scholars because of the facilities that they have there. But we see over there, one book is being published entitled Tuhfatu Ithna Ashariya. When we look at the title of this book, we see it has been actually written in a kind of downgrading Shia sect. That is not the approach of all Sunnis. They do not treat Shias like this. I mean, to entitle your book in a way that it is kind of mockery or making fun of the thing. Mm-hmm. So Tuhfat Ithna Ashariya means the present or the gift of Ithna Ashariya. So 12 words. So let's look at this gift. And then he, in his book, he's mm-hmm. trying to reject
Abdul, a person by the name of Abdul Aziz al-Dihlawi.
Yes, this book
has authored this book in rejection of the Shia beliefs. So you want to say that Abaqat al-Anwar fi Imamat al-Aimmat al-Adhar was written as a rebuttal or an answer.
Yes, that was a rebuttal book. But before we get into this book, we have to know that at its time, mm-hmm. that book, I mean the book which had been produced by that Sunni author, was a good and strong book mm-hmm. in a way that it was circulating among Shia scholars, but they wouldn't prepare a good response for that. By that moment, late Sayyid Mir Hamad Hussein, he comes to this point that he has to benefit from all knowledge that he has gained through all those years.
That's right.
So he will produce a book which right now we can see that book in 10 volumes, although there are other records being 30 volumes or even 100 volumes. Yes. But what right now we have at hand is including 10 volumes. And the way he approached that Sunni book is regarded as a kind of very technical mm-hmm. and respectful, because it is easy to refute something using words which are not appropriated
That's right.
for the field of actually scholarly field, or it is not appropriating mm-hmm. the academic area. But when we look at his work, we see that the way he is approaching all things in his book is really, really professional.
That's right.
And this is because of the author, because he is regarded as one of the prolific authors.
That's right.
He knew many things about the Quran. He knew many things about the Riwayat. So he divides his book into two parts. First part, he actually approaches all verses that have been employed in the Sunni book in order to reject the idea of Shiism.
That's right.
So one by one, mm-hmm. he will take all verses, that some of which are really familiar
right.
for our listeners, like Innama waliyakum Allah wa rasuluhu, or the other verse Al yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum, and the other verse that our listeners are familiar with. So he takes all these verses one after another, and he tries to actually refute the argument of the author in a way that, okay, Shiism had been and is being proven through these verses. And then
That's
he
right.
gets into the actually field of the Riwayat.
So more than Shiism, I think it is about the concept of imamat, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
That's
because,
right.
Yeah.
Which is the main pillar of
yes,
the Shia
main
beliefs.
Pillar of Shia beliefs.
And
is imamat.
So maybe so many people from our Muslim brethren believe that there is no direct reference to the concept of imamat in the Holy Quran, but Mir Hamad Hussein and so many other scholars have proven that there are direct incidents and events mentioned in the Holy Quran through the ayahs of the Holy Quran that show the authenticity of the concept of imamat and the leadership and the successorship. This is a specialized field of study. I mean, maybe by mere studying the text of the Holy Quran, some people might not understand it. But if we get to the shan and nuzul of the ayat and the different incidents, and you know, we have to know Arabic language, of course, and the exegesis of the Holy Quran, then we could understand that That's right. Some references are made to the concept of Imamate in the Holy Quran too. That's all right. So he wrote it in Farsi language, you know. And I think it is because the Farsi language was the mother tongue of that region, of the Indian subcontinent, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the Indian subcontinent.
Even we have Iqbal-ul-Lahuri.
Iqbal-ul-Lahuri writes in
composing
Farsi.
Composing poets in
Farsi. Farsi language, that's right. Yeah. Okay, that's all right. So, Sheikh Ziyaniel, let's get to you, brother. What information can you give us about Abaghat al-Anwar and the significance of this book? I mean, what is the high position of this book in the Shia library? Why is it so important?
As my brother, dear Sheikh Mahdavi, mentioned, this book is written according to the book of Tuhfa Ithna Ashariya. And because that book was Persian, this book is also Persian.
You mean as an answer to that book?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And Tuhfa Ithna Ashariya is consisted of 12 chapters. And each chapter is talking about proper aspect of Shia school of thought. For example, first chapter is talking about the history of Shia school of thought and gives accusations regarding Shia school of thought.
That's right.
And most important part of the book is chapter 7 that is regarding Imamate.
Imamate, that's right.
And Abaghat al-Anwar and many other books, and this is not the only Abaghat, some other books also are written in this regard. They are trying to defend the Shia school of thought regarding the subject of Imamate. And you know why? Because when the subject of Imamate is proved and is accepted, then all these discussions should be put on the shelves. Because the milestone and the root of every discussion in the theology of Islam between the denominations is the topic of Imamate. Because after the Holy Prophet's demise, we see that some of the Muslims, they try to say that, okay, the Holy Prophet did not appoint anyone. And some of Muslims, they would say that, no, Prophet appointed a person as his caliph and introduced Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. So if this discussion is solved, then the coming discussions that they are after this, they must be, all of them are put aside.
That's right.
And there's no negotiation anymore.
Okay.
Yes, I believe in this, you believe in that.
Yes.
No problem, but we should understand each other's, reasoning.
That's
why Abaghat is putting emphasis on this point.
That's right.
I mean, Imamate.
Yes.
Because this is the most basic difference between Shia school of thought and Sunni school
of beliefs,
thought.
The beliefs, that's right. How is his style of writing or compilation?
Yeah. Of course, because this book is trying to answer the problems that are raised by the book of Tuhfa Ithna Ashariya, so it's obvious that this book is going through the subject of that book, the first one, I mean, Tuhfa Ithna Ashariya. But Abaghat al-Anwar itself have this manner that at the beginning, when it's about riwayat, it's trying to give the sources of riwayat and then tries to give the chain of narrators and then try to convey a research on these chain of narrators that's, who are these people?
That's right.
Are they authentic or not? And he proves that these are authentic.
That's right.
And then after approving this point that the chain of narrator is authentic and is accepted by all, so then he goes to the delala and to the argumentation
that's
based
right.
on the text of riwayat.
Text of the riwayat.
So he tries to say, okay, this riwayat is a proof for the school of thought of Shia of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
That's right.
So in this way, alhamdulillah, both sides are covered.
That's
The sanad, tracing back the riwayat to Ahlul Bayt, to the Holy Prophet.
Yes.
And then secondly, the delalat or the reasoning that is derived out from the text.
Because the Shiism was accused that some of these narrations are not authentic
and does not have
enough wusukh. So Amir Hamad Hossein Hendi shows that they are authentic, even maybe based on the Sunni references
Sure.
And this is the great... we can say point.
And another important point regarding this book is that many of the subjects of the book is taken from the Sunni sources. So it's not a Shia-based book to answer the problems from own point of view, but he tries to give evidences from Sunni books. And that's the most important point regarding this book
That's right.
that have made it, famous.
Okay. And it was acknowledged by so many outstanding, high-quality asatid professors and scholars of the Shia world, Sheikh Matavi, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. And among them, we may name Allama Amini, who is the author of Al-Ghadir. He himself has authored a book in favor or in defense of Shiism. Giving this focus on the hadith of Al-Ghadir and the incident and event of Al-Ghadir Khum. But he himself, when it comes to the point to acknowledge the book of Abaqat, he is saying very noble words and exalting this work of Marhum Mir Hamed Hussein, saying that the nice smell of this book has spread all words from the west to the east. So someone like Allama Amini, who has authored a book regarding the Imamat, is acknowledging the book of Abaqat. Again, we see Sheikh Agha Buzurg Tehrani, he himself is considered as one of the great and outstanding codicologists who have compiled the name of more than 50,000 books in his compilation, which is called Al-Dhari'a ila Tasanif al-Shi'a. In his book, again, he is acknowledging Abaqat al-Anwar. So having this understanding about the all works from the Shia authors, he comes to this point to again acknowledge and admire the work that the author of Abaqat has conducted. So it's really a good work, and this is not except for his purity, his hard working, as it is said in the memories and stories that happened for him. They're saying that even the time his son passed away, not more than 1 hour he dedicated for the funeral thing, and the rest of the works and efforts he left it in the hands of the relatives.
His eyesight and his right hand for writing.
So it says he was a really prolific, non-stop writing author who dedicated his whole life to defend from the actually school of Ahlul Bayt. May Allah bless him.
May Allah bless him. That's why he was really admired by so many outstanding other scholars like Mirza Shirazi, as you said. We can say Sheikh Zainuddin Mazandarani and also Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi, who write in admiration of Abaqat al-Anwar in defense of the Shia beliefs. Safar 18, 1306, according to the Hijra calendar, is the day in which he passed away, and his body was taken to a Husainia known as Janab Qufran Ma'ab. He passed away with them, buried over there, and a commemoration session and gathering was held for him in Iraq, in Atabat. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, Amin Sayyid Mahdi Abu Zafar, mainly known as Mir Hamed Hussein Hindi, known by his book Abaqat al-Anwar fi Imamat al-A'immat al-Athar. It was very kind of you, Sheikh Zainia and Sheikh Mahtavi, for your presence in the program, The Teacher. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/ENColorOfIslam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode, God bless you. Fi Amanullah.